Reading with your kids.
Hola, ni hao, konnichiwa, assalamu alaikum, shalom, mahaba, cha, bonjour, namaste, jumbo. Bienvenidos. Hey, my name is Jed Lee. Welcome to Reading with Your Kids. We are beaming out to you from the beautiful neighborhood of Reedville, the gem of Boston, Massachusetts. We are so delighted and so very honored that you're joining us in our mission to help all families grow closer through reading. We do that by sharing fun, thoughtful, and thought-provoking conversations with fascinating people who just happen to be writing books for kids of all ages. You can join us in our mission by telling all of your family and friends about the show and letting them know they can hear us on the WREB AM-FM 24/7 radio network, and they can find us on the iHeartRadio app, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Good Pods, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Player FM, Audible. Wherever you find your favorite shows, you can find Reading with Your Kids. Two wonderful guests are returning to Reading with Your Kids to celebrate their new books. First up, Sherry Fink, My Favorite Mermaid, is here to celebrate Wishing You Rainbows. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture book. And Jeff Bennett is returning to celebrate his new picture book, Max Goes to Mars, Perseverance Edition. Hey, my friends, I have a super idea you are going to love. How about this weekend, turn your backyard cookout into a storybook celebration? Fire up the grill, crack open a few of your favorite picture books, and serve up Big Fork Brand's legendary bacon sausage. Made with nitrate-free bacon and premium pork, it's juicy, smoky, and unforgettable. Top it off with Big Fork spicy Chicago Fire sauce, and you've got a meal as bold as the characters in your favorite bedtime tale. Get 20% off your order using the promo code READ at BigForkBrands.com. That's BigForkBrands.com, promo code READ to get 20% off. Because nothing brings families together like great food, great books, and a whole lot of flavor. Big Fork Brands. Read, grill, repeat. Are you looking for a creative way to bond with your kids? Let me tell you all about Drawing with Your Kids, the ultimate destination for artistic adventures. Join us as we dive into the wonderful world of children's books with renowned illustrators guiding you step by step. From beloved characters to whimsical scenes, unleash your imagination and create cherished memories together. Whether you're a seasoned artist or just picking up a pencil, there's something for everyone at Drawing with Your Kids. Please visit our website, readingwithyourkids.com, and click on the Drawing with Your Kids link at the top of the page and let the creativity flow. Drawing with Your Kids, where every stroke brings stories to life. My friends, I am so excited. One of my favorite guests is back on Reading with Your Kids. I think she was on the show back in 2017 when we launched it, and she's been on a number of other times. We've actually met in real life, and her husband has been a guest, and I'm so excited to welcome back the author of Wishing You Rainbows, a brand new picture book from our guest, Sherry Fink. Sherry, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to be back.
I'm really happy to have you back on. I do have fond memories of the first few months of Reading with Your Kids when I was reaching out to authors that I was seeing on social media and knowing nothing about. And boy, did I hit a home run when I found you and invited you on the show. Your books are wonderful, and your knowledge of the publishing world is really vast. And you've been very generous sharing that knowledge here on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you. Well, it's my honor. You know, it's something that you're not born with. You have to experience it and learn and grow. And it's wonderful to be able to share that with others so that they can have a better experience and journey and share their dream with others as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about Wishing You Rainbows. What a cool title.
Thank you. Yeah. This is a very special book to me. It's really, I like to think of it like an encouragement book. It's like a warm hug. It's a cozy blanket. This is a book that you could give to a friend, to a child, to a grown-up even, anyone who's going through a difficult time or a transition or a graduation. It's basically a book that says no matter what you end up going through in life, everything's going to be okay, and wraps it up with a big old rainbow bow.
I love that. I love that. You know, somebody listening out there might be thinking to yourself, why do you have to encourage kids who are reading picture books? Come on, kids are happy. They don't need encouragement. I would disagree with them. Why would you disagree with them?
Oh, well, I think just talk to any child. You know, there are so many things that kids worry about at any generation, but I think especially now, I think kids just have more exposure to things. You know, they just know more things, and the more things that you know, the more things you have to worry about. So I think just kids having that reassurance that, you know, no matter what the weather is today, and the book uses the weather as a metaphor, no matter what that weather is, the sun is always shining behind the clouds, you know, and whoever is gifting the book, that I'm always cheering for you, that your friends are always there for you. And that is the valuable reminder that we're here for you. And one of the things that I did in this book that's unique in my, this is my 18th book, and I've never done this before, but I thought it was perfect for this, was I created a personalization page. So at the beginning of the book, it has a beautifully designed page that has a to and from section on it. Mm-hmm. So you can actually write the name of the recipient on it and then sign your name. So it's great for gifting.
Yeah, that's really, really great. I love it. You know, we are living in an age where it seems like everybody is catastrophizing everything, and we're always... adults are always arguing with each other. So I agree. We need to reassure our kids that it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I mean, even my daughter. So my daughter just turned 3, and she's taking swimming lessons. And she's very good at it. She does very well. Every time she goes to the lesson, she does great. But when we talk about going to the lesson, each time she gets anxious. Ooh. And I don't know where it comes from, but she's talking about it with me, like she doesn't want to go, and sometimes she will cry, and she'll say she'll do this one part of thing, but she doesn't want to go under the water. She doesn't want to blow bubbles. She will paddle, but she won't do this thing. And I don't, you know, I'm not sure why, because when she gets there, she's fine. Like when she gets in the water, she's all good to go. And when I talk to the other moms, their kids are doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And again, she's good at this. So imagine the things that the child might struggle with. And I think a book like this is perfect in that scenario, that it's like, hey, even if you have a rough day, swim, whatever it is, it's okay. It's all going to be good. Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your daughter. How has becoming a mom to not only your daughter, but also your son changed you?
Oh my gosh. Well, as a writer, specifically because we're talking about the book right now, as a writer, I'll tell you this first. Like, I used to be a marathoner. Okay. So it used to take me a long time to get into that inspired mode. Like, I'm not the kind of person who can just turn it on and off and like, oh, I just write for 15 minutes a day, and then in a year I'll have a book. No, that's not me. That's never been me. Uh-huh. I try all those things and they never worked. I'd have to like really coax the muse, you know, and then once I got the perfect conditions and I got in there, I'd have to sit in that spot forever. Like, don't go to the bathroom. Don't take the phone call. Don't do anything that could jinx this. You know? Like, so I would like literally write until I couldn't possibly keep my eyes open, or I absolutely had to get up from that chair to get something to eat. I would just go as long as I possibly could. Uh-huh. But now as a mom, that is not an option. Mm-hmm. So I had to become a sprinter. Mm-hmm. I have little pockets. I mean, more than 15 minutes usually, because I have a wonderful husband, mm-hmm. and we trade off and we, you know, we help each other out with the children. But, you know, I have to really strategically plan my time. I don't have time to mess around. So before, when I thought, wow, it's a miracle to get a book out in a year, now I'm like, holy moly, what a luxury I had before. But now, you know, I'm working on quite a few projects. and being a mom and planning birthday parties and doing all the things. So I know it's possible. It's just a much, you look at it differently. You look at it differently. And then as a person, I mean, it's just made me that much more grateful for my blessings. I mean, I wished for these children my whole life, just like I wished to be a writer my whole life. And when that finally came, I never took it for granted for a moment. And I feel like that about my kids too. And now that I have both of them, I'm like, oh, how can I blend these things together the best way possible and grow it and grow it and grow it together, you know?
You mentioned planning birthday parties. You were known here on the Reading with Your Kids as my favorite mermaid for a long time. Does the mermaid come out for the birthday parties?
Well, you know, my daughter did have a mermaid themed party a month ago. I was not in full regalia though, because I had a lot to do that day. But yeah, you know, when they get a little older, I do sometimes still dress up for events, for my author events. It just depends on the theme of it.
Yeah. That is one of the things I wanted to touch on. If you've never met Sherry and her husband, Derek Taylor Kent, in person at a book event, boy, you're missing out, because you do it right. I mean, your booth is absolutely fantastic. You have all sorts of products, and you are there and you're providing lots and lots of fun for everybody who visits your booth.
Thank you. Yeah, that's something I always wanted to do. I always thought, like, why should it be boring? You know, books should be exciting. Like, every book is an adventure for the reader. Why shouldn't meeting an author also be an adventure? Yeah, I really want that booth to be a one-of-a-kind experience. And when a reader comes up and meets me, I want them to be mesmerized. You know, I want it to be very memorable. I didn't get to meet an author until I was 30 years old. Like, I want when kids to meet a writer to think, wow, writing is cool. Reading is cool. Yeah. I want to do that too. Yeah. And I think the way to do that is to connect with them on that level. And plus, these things are just fun for me. I was doing cosplay before cosplay was cool. Uh-huh. I was doing all these things. Finally, I get my chance, you know? So it's just natural for me to incorporate those things into my booth setup when I have an event and when we do pop-up shops. And, you know, now that we have lunch boxes, and earlier this year, we released our first plush. It's my winged kitty character from Magenta, the magical flying kitty cat. And we did a 100 kitty cat run, limited edition exclusive, and we're already over halfway sold out of that.
Wow.
So in just a few months. So that's amazing.
Yeah, that really is amazing. One of the things I've always been impressed with is your business knowledge. You did have experience in the corporate world, and you brought that to your book business. And you are, you're one of the first guests that helped me realize that when you become an author, you become the CEO of your small business, and you really need to think like a business person if you're going to be successful. How has the book business changed in the last 7 or 8 years?
Okay. Well, I think it's easier than ever to publish a book, which is cool, because I started 15 years ago, believe it or not, and it was much harder then. But I think that with the advent of all these new AI technologies, you've got a lot of people doing it a lot faster and maybe not at the same quality level as we would expect it to be in the past. So I don't prefer those kinds of books. Of course not, because I'm pouring my heart and soul into each one that I produce. but yeah, I think it's nice to see that a lot more people can get their ideas out into the world faster, that there's a lot less gatekeeping on that. I'm all for that. But I still want to see people, if people have the opportunity to read your story for the first time, I want them to get the best version of that. And that requires some editing. That requires high quality illustrations if you're doing things for kids, you know. You don't get another chance to make that first impression. So I want it to really shine. So I think that's a big change. The other thing that's really changed is the events. Years ago, the pricing was more reasonable to do events. We've seen those prices really go up.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. You know, the people who are putting on the festivals and the conferences and things, they have their own expenses to cover. You know, those things aren't free for them. So they've had to raise their rates to cover that. And a lot of the smaller people, at the same time, it's easier to get your words out into the world, but it's not as easy to be able to afford a booth at some of these events to showcase them. So it's interesting. It's really interesting to see how that's going to evolve over time.
Yeah. Yes, it really is interesting. And I've noticed that the price has gone up when we try to promote reading with your kids at different events. Thankfully, we've been able to find some events that wanted to partner with us and gave us some great deals along the way. Wishing You Rainbows made me think back to a day I had in El Salvador when I was touring that nation with the Clowns Without Borders group. And we had this show. It was outside. It was underneath the roof, but there were no walls and around the little theater that we were performing at. And it rained. And I was just recovering from an injury. And my troop mates were very concerned that I'd be slipping and sliding and whatnot. And will anybody come? It turned out the whole town came up to see us. And at the end of the show, there was this beautiful rainbow that just stretched out over the nearby volcano. And this, your Wishing You Rainbows, your title, made that beautiful memory come back to me.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's the closest thing to magic that we have in our real world. You know, it appears kind of mysteriously and it disappears. And yeah, we have a scientific definition for it, but we can't really pinpoint exactly where they're going to show up and when or how long they're going to last.
Yeah.
And I can remember years ago when I was researching for my Little Seahorse book, I was in the Big Island on Hawaii. And I'm driving down the highway and there was a double rainbow and I didn't know that could happen. I had never seen that before in my life. And I pulled over on the highway and I was flipping out. I was losing my mind. And then all these other cars started pulling over too. And we're all filming it. And we're like, oh my God, like, are you seeing this? You know, and it was just, it bonded all these strangers together, you know, and then it disappeared just as mysteriously as it appeared. And I just, it was such a cool thing. And I think just bringing people together and reminding kids like, hey, everything's going to be okay. And in the story, so the way that it begins, and it's a rhyming book, which is unusual for me too. It's kind of like a poem. So the story opens with a bunch of animals that are on a whimsical carousel and they're breaking free of the carousel and they're floating up into the air and they're about to go on these adventures. And some of the places that they go to a pink sand beach, which I've always been enamored of. Then they're going to, they end up to going to space. They're going to an underwater wonderland on a rainy day. You know, they're going through all these places. There's a garden party with all kinds of unusual animals that you wouldn't expect would be there. They're at a lantern party with a lemur. They're flying kites on a farm. They're in a bathtub with a giraffe and a pink dolphin. You know, there's all kinds of very fun and whimsical scenes that a child would just indulge in all the details. Like every time that they look at the book, they're going to find something new to like appreciate and really immerse themselves into that scene.
Yeah. You know, Sherry, it seems the past couple of weeks I've had interviews with a lot of authors and illustrators of picture books that deal with pretty heavy subjects. And while I absolutely think that those picture books, they're very well done and they can spark some great conversations within a family and teach kids some very important lessons, I still think that we need whimsical stories to tell our kids.
I agree with you. And I think sometimes the less specific we are, the more helpful the book can be.
Mm.
Because one of the things about a book like this is that you can fill in your own blanks.
Right.
Like maybe you're graduating from elementary school and you're going into the next level and you're a little bit nervous, you know, and this is just a reminder, like, hey, your friends are here. We're cheering you on. Your parents love you. Like, you're all good. Or maybe you're moving, you know, you're in the first grade and you're moving and you're changing schools and you're super uneasy about all that. Or maybe you're changing to homeschool. You were in regular school and you're changing to homeschool. Like, you know, maybe your best friend is moving. Maybe something happened in your family and your family parents are getting divorced. Like, who knows, right? Maybe your family's getting married. Like, who knows? You're getting a new sibling. Whatever that change may be, a book like this is there to support you through that. And just to remind you that the people who love you are wishing you rainbows.
Yeah.
You know, they're wishing you magic and joy.
You know, as you were speaking about this, I realized that in some parts of the country, schools already begun. Certainly colleges all around the country, kids would be starting in as freshmen. I think this could be a fun gift to give a rising freshman entering their first year of college.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's very elevated. When you look at it, you'll see, like, one of the fun things that we did on the cover is a de-embossing, which I've never done before. Like, so it has a texture on the cover, and it also has a silver foil element that has, when you twist it in the light, it has a rainbow that appears, like a holographic rainbow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we spared no expense.
Well, you know, I remember one of your other visits, you were also doing some kind of experiment with one of your covers. And that's one of the things that I really admire about you is that you are willing to take chances and do something that's different, that'll bring a different experience to families.
Oh, it's so important to me. You know, I think once you've done at least 10 books, it gets a little bit boring doing the same thing over and over, right? Every book is different on the inside, but it's fun to get to play with the different elements on the outside. And I'm very fortunate to have partnered with a printer for many, many years now. And when I say, hey, you guys, I got an idea, they listen, you know, and if they aren't able to do it right now, they figure it out. By the time I'm ready to go to print, they're like, hey, I think we can do that. Let's try it. They figure out a way. Like, I was years ago, I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if we could do glow in the dark? And they figured it out. And then, like you said, for magenta, that cover, we were doing a gold foil element on the cover that had a rainbow iridescence hologram effect. And that book has been my top selling book ever.
Wow.
Yes. It's so magnetic. And it's just such a magical story. And there's something about the cover. Like, we will be at events like Comic Cons and I'll have the book displayed on the table with everything else. And grown women will come running to the table. They'll see the cover with the flying kitty on it, the gold eyes and golden footprints. And it's so magical. And they'll just be like, I don't know what it is about this, but I need this book. And I'm like, I get it. I would buy it too. So it's wonderful to have people feel that way about your work, you know, and your artwork. And it's fun. It's really fun. I have another cover that has glitter on it. And then the one that I'm working on for next year. Oh, wait till you see that one.
All right. Yeah. You know, we had, it's been a number of years now, so I don't know if it took off or not, but we had a couple of different authors on whose books smell. Not that they weren't smelly, but you could smell something. You talked about food or whatnot. Thinking about doing something like that on a cover, maybe?
I am not, but I will tell you that I am in the midst of writing my first middle grade novel.
Ooh.
And, you know, that is a horse of a different color.
It certainly is.
But it's very exciting. And as I'm writing it, I am married to Derek Taylor Kent, the king of middle grade novels, who's best known for the Big Scary School series. And he's like, this is definitely a 3-book series, minimum 3-book series. And I'm like, okay, maybe that's true. And as I'm building it out, I'm like, okay, I like building this world. This is very, very exciting. But I have some ideas about how we're going to handle the production of this book that is going to make it very, very special. And I think that my fans who have been reading my books for years, and they may have grown a little bit older than my picture books, will be very excited when this one comes out, because finally they'll have something that's at their level.
Yeah,
you know,
that's really great. And I wonder if there's going to be any competition in the Fink Taylor household.
You know, there's never any competition here. It's all love, all support. We are both so delighted when a child goes home with a book that they're excited to read.
That's great.
When someone comes to our table, the first thing we try to figure out is what do they love already? And then we try to find something that will match the energy of that. Or if they're looking for something completely different, we try to find what they're seeking, you know? And if we can help them find something that fits that, then we're all happy.
Yeah, that's cool. Hey, I know your son is very young, but your daughter, what does she think about having a mom who's a kid's author?
I think she's cool with it as much as she understands about it. You know, we go to all these events and everyone knows her, which is pretty cool. And people tell me like, oh yeah, that's Sherry Fink's daughter. Like everybody knows her here. Like they give her, people are very sweet and they always give her things at the booths.
Oh,
and I'm like, she's going to grow up thinking that this is how the world works. It's not exactly like these are people who are really kind to us because we see them at all the events, you know, but yeah, they're people are very sweet. And when the fans come to the tables, they have books signed, and sometimes she'll sit right next to me and she'll pretend to sign books with me, which is so adorable. People will constantly say how much she's grown. And sometimes if she's also in costume, sometimes she wants to dress up and people will get pictures with the two of us and she'll like that too. And, but you know, at the end of the day, she's a kid and she wants her snacks and she wants her tablet. She'll get tired at the end of the day and take a nap in the booth. And, as long as she has her needs met, I'm a happy mom.
That's awesome. Well, we need to know where we can go to find out more about Wishing You Rainbows and more about everything coming from your whimsical world.
Oh, well, if you go to whimsical-world.com, you will find all the information about Wishing You Rainbows and all of my other books. And Wishing You Rainbows, if you pre-order now, it doesn't actually come out to September 16th officially, but if you pre-order before then, you will be one of the first families in the world to receive the book earlier than then. I'm actually going to ship them as soon as I get them, which should be any day now. And you will receive an exclusive holographic sticker of the cover, which is beautiful. Oh. And it will be autographed and personalized with your name or the recipient's name in it. And you can also visit me at Sherry, S-H-E-R-I underscore Fink, F-I-N-K on Instagram and sherryfink.com.
Awesome.
I think that's all the places, right? And whimsicalworld.com, whimsicalworldbooks.com.
It's a good start. We've had a great time speaking to the author of Wishing You Rainbows. It's a brand new picture book from our guest, Sherry Fink. Sherry, thanks for being back on Reading With Your Kids.
Thank you. And thank you for all that you do for children's authors and children's literacy and for parents and kids.
Hey, my friends, you know one of my favorite parts of the day is story time. There's just something magical about snuggling up with your kids, opening a great book, and escaping into an adventure together. And let me tell you, that moment becomes even more magical when you're curled up in the softest, coziest bedding you've ever felt. That's why I'm so excited that CozyEarth.com is supporting Reading With Your Kids. Their bamboo sheets, comforters, and pajamas are unbelievably soft, naturally breathable, and temperature regulating, which means no more sweaty nights or chilly toes. Right now, Cozy Earth is offering Reading With Your Kids listeners an unbelievable and exclusive 41% off their entire site. That's right. You heard me right. 41% off. So go ahead, create your own cozy reading nook. Wrap yourself and your kids up in something comfy. Grab your favorite bedtime book and turn story time into the best part of your day. Head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the promo code READ at checkout to save 41%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code READ. Hey, real quick, we want to let you know that this episode of Reading With Your Kids is brought to you by Zivo Life. Zivo.life. Zivo Life. Hey, parents, caregivers, and book lovers, ever wish you had a little bit more zip in your step when you're reading The Very Hungry Caterpillar for the fifth or the 50th time today? Say hello to Zivo Life, your new best friend in daily wellness. Zivo Life is the world's most nutrient-dense whole plant, loaded with 50% plant protein, essential amino acids, fiber, antioxidants, and so much more. It's a powerhouse in just one teaspoon a day. And yes, it's giving people more energy, better gut health, and even healthier skin and hair. If you want to feel more energized, focused, and vibrant during your next animated storytime performance, Zivo Life might just be your secret weapon. Visit Zivo.life, Zivo.life, and use the promo code READ to get 30% off your order. It comes with a 30-day risk-free guarantee, and you've got nothing to lose except your sluggishness. Go now to Zivo.life and use the promo code READ and save 30%. Join us right now from beautiful Boulder, Colorado. Our guest is here today to celebrate his brand new picture book. It's called Max Goes to Mars, Perseverance Edition. Please welcome to the show, Jeff Bennett. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Delighted to have you on. Tell us about this book. Space travel was something that I grew up, I was fascinated with it. And I'm really happy that more people are getting interested in it now.
That's what the book is for. It's to get kids excited about space, and especially since you're Reading With Your Kids podcast, to get parents and teachers involved in helping their kids understand what they're reading in the book. So this is part of a series I have in which I send my dog Max to various places. And this is the updated edition of Max Goes to Mars called the Perseverance Edition for the Perseverance rover that is currently exploring Mars and is in the background of my Zoom here.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Very cool. Jeff, how in the world did we go? I'm a kid. I'm almost 100 years old. I was a kid back in the 60s. The most important thing to me was the space program, going to the moon, going to space. You know, every liftoff we all watched together as a country, it was the only thing that you could find on TV. Every splashdown, we prayed for the astronauts. And it was just the most important thing in our lives. And then people got disinterested in space travel. And I just don't know how that happened.
Well, you know, I don't think people actually got disinterested in it. I think what happened was we stopped having the political will to keep funding it and making it go. But kids have all, in particular, kids have always been just super excited about space and space travel and astronomy and the stars and everything. And I think adults retain that as well. And part of why I got into this was in order to try to help bring that back and make sure that kids are being inspired and that they're learning the correct science as they get inspired and want to do more.
Now, you're not just a picture book writer, although picture book writing is so important and we love it. But you are, as we would say here in Boston, you're like a wicked smart guy. You are a biophysicist and you're an astrophysicist and you do all that sciencey STEM stuff. Where do you find time to write children's books?
Well, the children's books are kind of my hobby, so I slip them in where I can find some time. But back when I was first starting my career, in fact, while I was in college, I started teaching at an elementary school. And it was very quickly realized how much the kids loved space and science. and how poor the resources available to them were. So I'd always wanted to get into writing for kids. And fortunately, I've had the opportunity to do that with these books.
Yeah. One of the things that you pointed out, and we've mentioned it here on the podcast in the past, but it bears repeating. You mentioned that because it's a picture book, hopefully kids will be reading this book with their parents, and the parents will be there to answer any questions they may have. That's picture books are meant to be read together with a parent. So, and the writing that you'll find in picture book is typically more, has more vocabulary and more difficult vocabulary than your kids will find in their first chapter books, because we anticipate the kids to be sitting down with their parents reading those picture books.
That's right. And in particular with my books, because they're focused on science and space, things that those parents themselves may not know a lot about, you'll see the sidebars in my book actually have more words than the book, the story itself, because they're designed, I call them big kid boxes because bigger kids can read them, but they're really almost designed to be the parent and teacher boxes, right? So as you're reading the story with your kids are probably going to ask some question. You'll be, I don't know the answer, but the answer is actually right there on the side of the page for you. And so you can read that yourself and then answer that question for your child.
Yeah. So let's talk about the story. Max, does he like space travel?
Well, you know, I try not to anthropomorphize Max too much. He's a dog, and by sort of serendipitous accident, he ends up on space travel. So it's never really completely clear whether he's enjoying himself, but he's certainly having a lot of fun as he does things. And in fact, everything he does in the story, even though it's set on another planet or in some of the other stories, various other places, the moon, Jupiter, they're based on things he actually does in real life, and we just transported him to do the same things in another place.
Very, very cool. I bet a lot of kids won't know that some of the first beings in space were dogs.
The first. Well, if you don't count the fruit flies that went into low Earth, that just went in a suborbital launch. No, the first was a Russian dog named Laika. Followed then by, you know, chimpanzee, ham, and some other animals. But Laika, the dog, was the first in space. And there have been about, about 22 dogs in space. I have a box in the book about all the dogs in space. So again, when your kids ask that question, parents can look in that box and tell them which dogs have been to space and when and why.
Yeah. Now, do you suggest that parents use those big kid boxes to make their kids think that they're wicked smart, and, you know, so not like, oh, I knew this all along?
Well, you know, I wouldn't maybe pretend that you knew it all along, but you could certainly, it doesn't hurt to look wicked smart to your kids when you're reading with them, right?
I agree. So, Todd, do you think that we will have human beings on Mars in the next decade or two?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what the time scale is, but part of the reason I did this new edition, the Perseverance edition, was because I think we are at the point where whoever is the first person, the first people to walk on Mars, is very likely kids who are in elementary school today. And so, you know, that might be 20 years, it might be 30, who knows, but I think it's today's kids that are going to be the ones who are first to Mars.
Yeah. Where did your interest in space and STEM and the STEM fields spring from?
Well, much like you, it was that Apollo program in the 1960s when I was in elementary school myself, and seeing that just was so inspiring, and that's what really sparked my interest in STEM. And then Carl Sagan had a big influence on me, which is what led me specifically towards astronomy and astrophysics.
Billions and billions.
Yes.
Yes. I love it. What's one of the things that we've talked about here on the podcast? We had Dr. Sylvia Earle, the known as her deepness and a world famous oceanographer. She was saying to me that we actually know more about space than we know about the ocean. That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah. If you pick particular places in space, like the moon or or Mars. Yes, I'm not for the whole thing, but right. But yes, because we've mapped out the moon completely. We've photographed the entire surface of Mars. We have rovers that have driven around on it, whereas the deep ocean is still largely inaccessible.
That's yeah. It kind of blows me away that we know more about something that's hundreds of miles away from us than we do about the ocean that I can walk into.
And they tie together because what we learn about space helps us understand what is going on Earth. And what we learn about Earth helps us understand what we're seeing in space.
Yeah. Talk, please, Jeff, about how best can a parent inspire their kids, and especially their girls, to want to explore the STEM fields. And you know, we talk about getting our kids going out into nature with our kids. How can we go into the STEM fields with our kids?
Well, I always focus, in fact, it's the model for my Big Kids Science imprint, on what I call education, perspective, and inspiration, the three things that have to tie together. So if you want them to learn some particular educational content like STEM, the way you do that is by showing them how learning that will shift their perspective and make them go, wow, that's amazing, and inspire them to want to do more. So for example, what you just mentioned of going out into nature, when you go out into nature, you get that perspective shift. You're like, wow, you told me about these big trees or whatever, and now I see them and I can really understand it. And if you're making it fun for the kids, you're inspiring them to want to do more of that exploring on their own in the future. So you try to tie those together. And if you look at a book like Max Goes to Mars, any of my books, but that one is what we're focusing on today, you'll see on every page I try to tie those three things together. There's some science content, but there's also something designed to make the kids go, wow, and something designed to make them think, I want to know more about that, or I want to think about what I'm going to do about that in my future.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what Max does in your other books.
In my first book where I had Max, he went to the moon, and he helped us go back to the moon for the first time since the Apollo era and helps establish a moon colony. Mm-hmm. And then Max Goes to Mars is the sequel in which he goes along on our first trip to Mars. I also have Max Goes to Jupiter, in which he takes us to Jupiter, where you can't land, but you can land on the moons of Jupiter, so they do that. And then I wrote a prequel called Max Goes to the Space Station, which sort of explains about the space station, but also how Max got into space travel in the first place.
Very cool, very cool. I had a chance to interview astronaut Katie Coleman, and a kid asked a great question. He said, have you ever seen an asteroid up close or something like that? And she said, no, I've never seen one, but I've seen the evidence of them when we go outside the space station and we can see the little dents that the tiny asteroids make crashing into the space station.
Yep. Yeah, and Katie did some amazing things up there on the space station, too, including playing her flute in a duet with Ian Anderson and Jethro Tull.
Very cool, yes. Ian Anderson, wow, what a name. And she also told me that she typically they strap themselves in to sleep so they don't float around. But she wanted to see what it would be like to sleep floating, and she ended up waking up underneath a table, I think she said.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever think of trying to get into the space program yourself as an astronaut?
I did think about it, but it obviously didn't work out that way for me. But as you might know, Max Goes to Mars, along with all six of my other children's books, have been up on the International Space Station. I just got one of my books back. In fact, I think it was the one that you and I talked about a few years ago, Totality. And it had traveled 340 million miles before it got back to me.
Wow. So, wow.
That was pretty fun.
You know, Jeff, Reading With Your Kids has been downloaded to every continent on the planet, including Antarctica. And that happened because one of the scientists there wrote a book about penguins, and he came on, he celebrated the book, and I mentioned it to him that we hadn't made it to Antarctica yet, and made a few phone calls, and sure enough, they downloaded it for him. So if you can pull some strings and get them to upload Reading with Your Kids to the space station, I'd be delighted.
Excellent. We'll see what we can do.
Awesome. Well, what's next for Max?
Well, I think right now I'm working on some different projects. I might send Max off to Saturn someday, but I haven't decided yet whether to move forward with that project. I'm currently working on a book on the scale of the universe and a few other projects.
The scale of the universe. That's kind of big, isn't it?
It is very big.
Do we have any guesstimate as to how big the universe might be? I know it's always expanding, but...
Well, yes, we do. And I should mention, to tie back into Max Goes to Mars here, in Max Goes to Mars, to try to explain the scale of how far it is to Mars, we use a device that I was involved in creating called the Voyage Scale Model Solar System. There's our main one is on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., but we also have them in a couple dozen other cities around the country. So we built the solar system on a scale of 1 to 10 billion. So you can actually walk through it. You see the sun about the size of a large grapefruit. The Earth is the size of a ballpoint in a pen, about 16 yards away, and so on. So you can walk through that out to see the whole solar system, and then you can go from there, jumping scales out to the rest of the stars, the galaxy, the universe. So that's what, in the Scale of the Universe book, I'll take you all the way through all that. And Max Goes to Mars, we only work on the scale out as far as Mars.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm imagining that someone like you, who's so focused on the stars, and you obviously have a great imagination, does your imagination take you to any places in particular in the solar system? If you had, if this were a magic wand and I gave it to you and you could wave it, where would you want to go to?
You know, honestly, I think the first place I'd go is the moon.
Okay.
Being able to look back and see our Earth from the moon would be a pretty incredible experience. I mean, all the astronauts who did it have incredible words to say about the emotions they felt. I think that would be very, very powerful. I like to talk about the fact that when we go back to the moon, hopefully we will do it as an international effort with an international scientific research station. And then you'll be able to have kids on Earth. They can see the moon in the sky, and no matter where they are, they'll be able to say, you know, all our scientists are working together up there. Surely if they can do that, we can all get along better down here. And so I really think this could inspire us to make the world a better, more united place.
Boy, I hope so. That was my hope with the International Space Station. I thought, wow, if we can all get along bumping into each other while we're sleeping on the space station, maybe we can figure out a way to not have to hurl big objects at each other.
Yeah. And I think it's done a lot of that, you know, obviously not perfectly, since we still have plenty of problems, but I think it certainly is something that helps toward that. And that's, you know, for me, the most important thing about space exploration is the way it ties us all together as humans and makes us realize what we have in common is so much more than any differences that we have. And in fact, that's probably why, you know, in this age of political divisiveness, you don't run into divisiveness when you're talking about space and space exploration. Everybody loves it, because it shows us that we're all part of this same human species.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of being all part of the same human species, there have been a lot of sightings of something that they're calling UAPs now, and you know, more and more people thinking, hey, we're not alone here in this universe. Where do you stand on that, and where do you stand, what do you think is going on with all these UAPs? Anytime the government changes the name of something, I get suspicious.
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a textbook for college students on life in the universe, and I also wrote a book for the general public on the topic called Beyond UFOs. So I think the evidence points very strongly to there being a high likelihood that the universe is full of life. Mm-hmm. As far as whether any of that is visiting us and being noticed by people, I'm a lot more skeptical of those claims, and largely because of the scale of the universe. Just to give you a quick sense, I mentioned the scale model solar system. So you start at the sun, in 16 yards, you're at the Earth. In about 10 minutes, you can walk to Pluto. And to get to the next star, you would have to cross the United States on that scale. And the distance from the Earth to the moon on that scale, which is the farthest a human being has ever traveled, is 1.5 inches, you know, like your thumb to your finger, like that. And so if you think about aliens coming from the stars and visiting us, that would mean they're doing the equivalent of traveling back and forth across the United States when this is the farthest we've ever gone.
Yeah.
Which means I doubt they would accidentally get seen or drop stuff if they are here.
Yeah. Yeah, you make a good point. If they're smart enough to get here, they probably hide their tracks a little bit better.
Right. And if they don't want to hide, if they want us to know, they could figure out how to let us know.
Yeah.
In an unambiguous way.
I agree. That's why I think when they changed the letters, that's why I'm like, I think. Anyways, well, we should tell everybody where they can go to find out more about Max, his trip to Mars, and find out more about you.
So on my website, bigkidscience.com, you can learn all about all of my various books, including Max Goes to Mars, the new edition. I should point out under the resources there, you'll also find a page where you can watch the Max Goes to the Moon movie and planetarium show that we made.
Ooh.
And we are in progress of making a Max Goes to Mars movie right now. That'll come out next summer for planetariums and streaming online. But go to bigkidscience.com and you can learn all about Max Goes to Mars and all of my other projects.
Wow. You know, you just brought back a memory. I remember being in the Museum of Science here in Boston as a second or third grader and being in the planetarium and having that projector come up from below us. And it was just, it looked like a spaceship. And then it just transported us out into the country where you can actually see the stars. You can't see them here in Boston. But that, what an amazing time. Parents, if you're listening to this, after you sit down and read Max Goes to Mars with your kids, get your kids and yourself to a planetarium and just experience that. That it's incredible.
Yeah, and get outside to a dark site and see the real sky too.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had a great time speaking to the author of Max Goes to Mars, Perseverance Edition. Our guest has been Jeff Bennett. Hey, Jeff, thanks so much for being back on Reading with Your Kids.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Reading with Your Kids and will join us for the next exciting episode of the show. Please be sure to connect with us on social media, facebook.com/readingwithyourkids, at Reading with Your Kids on Instagram, at Jedley Magic on X. We have a great YouTube channel, youtube.com/readingwithyourkids. You can find all of our Drawing with Your Kids, our Stimmis Family Fun videos, and also most of the episodes of Reading with Your Kids on our YouTube channel. Of course, we'd love for you to visit our website, readingwithyourkids.com. You can check out our blog, visit our Reading with Your Kids Certified Great Read Wall of Fame. And if you are an author of a great kids book, be sure to click the Authors Click Here button to find out how you can be a guest here on Reading with Your Kids. And being a guest, it's so much fun, it's so easy, and it gives you the chance to tell thousands of Kidlit fans all over the world about your fantastic children's book. We've been downloaded to every single continent on the planet, including Antarctica. Ooh, so cold. We'd also want to thank the folks who made today's show so wonderful, starting with our guest, Sherry Fink. Please be sure to check out Wishing You Rainbows. Also want to thank Jeff Bennett. Please be sure to check out Max Goes to Mars. I want to thank my team, Fatima Khan, Chris Doherty. I want to thank my beautiful wife for all the support she gives me. Most of all, we want to thank you. Thank you for joining us today. But most of all, thank you for helping to make the world a better, more empathetic, and more loving place. And you do that every time you read with your kids. I'll be looking for you in the next episode of Reading with Your Kids.